Well, we certainly desire an interest in your prayers this morning. I'm thinking of a phrase that I've been inspired with this week. We find it in a song that we have in our book, number 322, a song that was written by Francis Havergal, or I believe maybe that's how you say her name. I believe this song was written maybe as in the late 1879, 1880, something like that. And just like to point us to a phrase in the last part of the third verse. It says, right was the pathway leading to this. Right was the pathway leading to this. So I have lived long enough that I have, I can look back and reflect on the path of life. And I can also consider where I'm at in life and think about the things that might be considered achievements, accomplishments, status. All of those things are things that we reflect upon from time to time and maybe self-evaluate. Sometimes on a job you have a evaluation quarterly, annually, whatever, and that's when your boss or supervisor or something may say, okay, here's some things I'd like for us to talk about relating to your job performance. And they may say, here's the things we like about what you're doing, and here's some things we'd like for you to do a little different. Maybe they'd like for you to be a little more prompt at being at work, or maybe they'd like for you to use a little different technique, or pay a little more attention to this detail or that detail. It could be a myriad of different things. But the song seems to portray a lot of real life happenings. But the last part of the last verse, it says, right is the pathway leading to this. I wonder how many of us here have hiked any trails, maybe at a state park or something like that. I remember the boys were considerably younger, and we used to go to Roaring River State Park, and they've got a little map of hiking trails. One of them is will take you up the hill about way above the spring. It's depending on the route that you go, it could be a pretty intense climb, not like rock climbing, but it's just a path, a trail that you're walking up to something they call a fire tire, which is where they would go to keep a lookout for forest fires or something like that in years past. Last I knew, you could still climb the tower and get up in the little lookout canopy up there and look out over the trees and all of that. But it's a pretty popular trail at Roaring River State Park, especially if you went from the spring up to the tower. But then the trail goes on, and it goes out and comes down to the road that goes through the park. And that part of the trail is not taken very often. And there was a few other trails that they have different names for them. And, of course, the boys were younger and pretty energetic. And they wanted to take the one that was, I don't remember, several miles. And you notice if you start down that trail, when you first take off, the path is pretty well defined. and maybe you might say maintain. But as you keep going, there was a time that we got out there kind of in the woods and clearings and stuff, and it was like, we're looking for markers because it's not obvious that anybody else has been walking this path. And the last thing I want to do is have four little boys out here with me in the woods and not be able to get back where we come from. You know, if it's a hot summer day and you don't have enough something to drink, or, you know, it could end up not so good. But some of those paths are obviously more travel than others, and when you get to the destination or you finish the path, you would say, "Oh, it was a lot of fun. It was we enjoyed this. You know, we reached the whatever it was. We went all the way around and came back where we started, or found the place that everybody that the trail was named for." And all those things can be interesting. We can say, well, the path, it was a good path. You know, it was right, was a pathway that led us here. And, you know, I trust this morning that all of us can look back over life and not so much focus on the path, but where you're at today, spiritually speaking, and say, right was a pathway that leadeth to this. Being satisfied or recognize that God has led you to a place where you can be safe, as the song says, in the arm of Jesus. We want to be there. We want to have that secure relationship with the Lord. And so I want us to think this morning about the path. I'd like to turn to 1 Peter, the third chapter, and we'll begin reading maybe verse 10. It says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." Well, that's pretty good advice. He that will love life, he that will come to the place that he can say, this is the place that I wanted to be. This is the place I intended to go. This is the thing that I wanted to accomplish, spiritually speaking. He goes on to say, "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it," or be in earnest about connecting with that. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them to do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." So here's a first introduction of the potential of there being something other than a easy walk. You know, we heard the expression that some things are like a walk in the park. Well, what park are you talking about? If you're talking about a park that the ground is all level and maybe nicely mowed and maybe a path that is even and level and maybe it's hard surface and all of that, yes, it's like a walk in the park. But not all trails are like that. Not all paths are like that. It says, "Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" Success is guaranteed, isn't it? I believe it is. I'm not trying to lead you up to something, a trick question or something. I believe success is guaranteed, but it says in verse 14, "And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." So there may be something on the path that's not smooth, even, and level. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason, the hope that is in you, of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So there's going to be questions that ask, why do you always do that? Well, why don't you do this? Well, what's wrong with that? Well, I don't see anything wrong with this. You're going to have those kind of things that come your way. That's part of a bump in the road. That's part of the path. It says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. There's going to be people that we're going to come in contact with in our path of life that's going to call good evil and evil good. It's just the way, that's part of the path. It's not always the path that we want to be on. There's going to be times that the path may appear somewhat obscure. It doesn't look like there's a lot of people been going this way. I've been on those paths, and I'm looking around for some markers on the trees, you know, little arrows or numbers or whatever it is that told me I was still on the right path, and maybe none of the park rangers had been down that way in a long, long time, so they were kind of faded, and maybe they had got broken or deteriorated and fell off. It says, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. There's times that the path is going to be difficult. And he says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. I want to talk to us about Noah today and his path. And all of us here have a path that we've been on. The song says, right was the pathway leading to this. And the very last phrase in the chorus says, well, there's two phrases that's real positive in the chorus. One, it says, then the glad reaping, then the reward. That's where we want to end up, isn't it? I want to end up where there's reaping and reward. I want to end up where we can say, right was the pathway leading to this. And to this is the thing that we've been wanting to have. It's the victory. It's the guaranteed result. It's the thing that we say, this is why we do the things that we do. This is why we live the way that we do. The path. I think if I would go around the room today and say, well, what's your path included? And I would begin to get some answers, some real candid answers from you. You might say to me, well, when I was 8 or when I was 10 or when I was 20 or whatever, I never thought I'd end up in a place like this. You might say that. You might say, when I was young and growing up, I never heard of anything like this. I was never taught anything about the Scripture. Or maybe you would say, you know, there was a time in my life that I really didn't want anything to do with this. I thought my parents were, you know, they were deranged or there was something wrong with them, and I didn't want anything to do with the path that they were on, so I went a different way. I was sure I would hear some things that sounded like you hadn't always been on the straight, level, narrow road. All of us here, I'm included in that. I was thinking about Noah. What kind of path did Noah have? I'd like to go and look at his story a little bit over in Genesis. You know, sometimes the right pathway to take us to this, to the to the place we want to end up. Sometimes a route, the right pathway, feels like Highway 62 in Arkansas. It runs through Eureka Springs. You ever been on that road? It's one of those roads that I think you can almost see your own taillights when you look up in the rearview mirror. It's up and down. I remember I came to see Anita the first time after we had started riding, and I went to come to see her, and I was looking at the map. This is before GPS, those of you that are younger. And I looked at the map, and I thought, you know, that highway 412, and then it turns into 62, that'll take me right to where she was going to be. We were going to meet. They're having a little meeting down at Pea Ridge, Arkansas, and we were going to meet over there. I'll just take Highway 62. And I met her there, and I had a Camaro back then, and I was going home on that road, and I looked off, and you don't look off on that road very much and stay on it. And I looked off and looked back, and there was a little truck that had stopped in front of me, and I didn't get stopped in time. It didn't turn out so well. It's crooked, and it's up and down. It's not like I-49 that runs from Kansas City down to Russellville. It's not just smooth, easy. It's not a fresh, paved, mostly level, wide shoulders. It's not like that at all. 62 is not that way. And you know, sometimes in life we want to say, oh, I want a path in life that's like the interstate, and I can just set the cruise, and I don't have to an interstate without a lot of traffic. That's really what. If we're not satisfied just to have a straight level road, we want one without a bunch of traffic too. That's what we say we want. But when we look back over life, I would venture that all of us would say the path that we've been on has not always been that way. So I'd like for us to look at the story of Noah a little bit, because Peter referred to that. He said, just like Noah, there was just 8 souls that was saved. You know, when we make it to heaven, I believe we'll look back and we'll say, right was a pathway that leadeth to this. But it's not going to be the vast majority. 99.9% of the people that has lived on this earth is not going to be in heaven. I don't know what the percentage is going to be, but the scripture seems to indicate that it's going to be a minority. It's going to be, the scripture says, few there be that enter therein. So let's look here in the book of Genesis and read in the 5th chapter, I believe it is, in the 32nd verse. It says, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. 500 years old. Until Noah, the oldest person that lists having his firstborn son, was 182. Noah was 500. And I don't know, it's inferred that Noah didn't have any other children. The others that lived to be 182 and then had, that was Lamech, that was Noah's father, 180. I think he was 182. I think Adam was somewhere around 130 when Seth was born. And we have here Noah living 500 years. But those others may have had numerous daughters before that oldest son. That's just the way they did it back then. It's not a reflection that women aren't valuable and important. It's just the way that it was recorded in the scripture. Noah was 500. I don't know when he got married, maybe 30. I don't know. Maybe 40. I may have been younger, may have been older. But they were married several hundred years. That's the point I want to say. Several hundred years without children. What do you think people said to them? You think they said anything negative? I think they did. You know, if a young couple gets married and they don't have any children for 4 or 5 years, somebody, somewhere, is going to say something that's not positive. It's people. And I don't know that people's changed a lot in the last 6,000 years. And I'm pretty confident that somebody said something to Noah. I don't know what it would have been, and maybe we shouldn't even go down that path, but I think that there was probably something negative said to them in those 400 years or 450 years or whatever it was before their oldest was born. You think it felt comfortable? And somewheres along the way, Noah was of the understanding that God was going to destroy the earth and was commissioned to build the ark in the 6th chapter. And we're not going to read all the story. You know the story, how God told him how big to build it, and there was going to be a lower level, and there's going to be 3 levels in that ark. And I've been to the, what do they call it, ark encounter that this fellow has built, him and his organization out there, and I believe it's in Kentucky. And he's got a lot of imagination. There was more innovation on that ark encounter than I'm sure that Noah had at his own house. To think of going from living without running water to having all kinds of intricate systems in place to feed and water the animals on that boat, you'd have to go and visit that. I don't know who all might have seen that, but it's quite an impressive thing that his imagination kind of got carried away with. I don't know how God made the animals to live almost a year or right around a year on the boat. I've wondered sometimes if the creatures didn't go in and hibernate. But I know you read this story, God told Noah to gather up food for the animals. So somehow they must have ate something and they must have had a water supply. Somehow they piped it in from the water that was around them. I don't know how this all worked, but they weren't able to look out and see all the devastation while they was in the boat, it seems like. But in the 22nd verse, we find, this did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. The path that Noah was on. You know, he was 500 when his son was born. And it tells us that he was 600, Genesis 7 and 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were open. That's when the flood began. 500 when his son was born, 600 when the flood came. Somewhere's in there, I don't know where the time was, but somewhere's in the course of his life, he got the commission to build the ark. And not only that, he was preaching to everybody, the Lord's going to destroy this earth with a flood. You know, all his boys knew was building an ark. Somewhere they grew up enough and matured enough that they took a wife, because it says when they got on the boat, they took their wives with them too. And the oldest one, I guess, would have been about 100 years old when the flood came. the past sometimes seems kind of hard, doesn't it? I've got two boys that before they were pretty young when we started working on the chapel, and all they've known is Dad needs to go work on the chapel. Any spare time, spare week, weekend, here we go again, going over to the chapel, digging out some stuff out of an old truck I got at the house. I found the building permit and some other things that we had on a clipboard in there. Was talking about it coming over here. I went to work several days, and after work I drove over here and worked on the chapel till I couldn't see anymore, and then went home. I wonder what those boys felt like. I wonder what their contemporaries said, their peers said. Your dad's crazy, you know that? I don't know what he's building over there, but, you know, a boat that big, we don't have water enough to float it in. What's he doing? What's wrong with your family? That's all you're doing is you're not, this is pointless. Has there been any of that in your life, on your path? Noah preached, the Lord's going to destroy this earth with water. And they never seen it rain. The dew, it said, came up. The mist came up and watered the earth. What is rain? Do you know that the path that they were on seemed to be hard? It seemed to be a endless thing. We had I think it was Brother Clifford drew with his software, drew a floor plan for what we were going to add on here, and then an artist rendition of, you know, what the outside would look like, and it looks pretty close. I got it in my vehicle if y'all want to see it. But it's, you know, 13 years old, that piece of paper is. I wonder when God told Noah, this is how I want you to build the ark, and there's some of the work was tedious. You know how big that thing was? Supposedly the one out there in the Ark Encounter is built to scale. It's a big boat. It's got three floors. But notice here, I can't remember where the verse is right now. I thought I had it wrote down. But he said he's going to pitch it within and without. You built it out of wood, and then you covered the outside and the... What's that? 6 and 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Something that would make it waterproof. Now, I wonder what if you said, now we're going to cover this, build this chapel, and we're going to cover the outside and the inside with pitch. And we're going to have to put it on by hand with a brush made out of, I don't know, grass or animal hair or something like that. And we're going to have to daub every bit of it. We're going to want it to hold water, whether it's filled up from the inside or filled on the outside. We want it to be watertight. That'd be a tedious job, wouldn't it? And they were working on this boat, and I wonder how many times Noah had to say, boys, we need to put a little more pitch on. I found a little spot you missed over here. We need to put some more pitch on this. We're going to have to, now let's stop and think about how we're going to build the ramp for the animals to get in the boat. Where are we going to store the hay, and we've got to have a tank with some water in it. And how are we going to do all of that? That was their life. And he kept a vision of the boat, of the ark being completed. And his path of life seemed to be over some hard places and through some difficult times. And yet he kept a vision And when the rains came and the Lord told him to enter in the ark, there was few, Peter said, just 8 souls. All the time Noah had been preaching, the New Testament says he was a preacher of righteousness. And he preached that God was going to destroy the earth. And here's an opportunity for you to be able to escape that destruction. Today, we kind of feel like Noah sometimes. Have service. We invite people to come. Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to be part of the kingdom of God? And many times, people don't come. Many times, they don't want to hear. Many times, there's other things. Many times, there's accusations. And the path of life, my life and your life, goes up and down and around the corners. And we feel like we're on a path that's leading nowhere. And it's hard for us to see the markers sometimes, and it looks like there's not very many people been on this path. But remember how the song ends. The song ends that there's reward and there's reaping. And it ends with, right was a pathway leading to this. And we know that the end of Noah was that he was successful and he accomplished what God wanted him to accomplish. And we have record. Ezekiel says that he puts Noah in there with Daniel and Job, other men that stood tall for God. He put Noah in there with them and he said, but they can only save themselves. We're all on our own path. And I don't know what the path of life holds for you, but I'd like to read some of the words of this song. It says, light after darkness, gain after loss, strength after weakness, crown after cross, sweet after bitter, hope after fears, home after wandering, praise after tears. You ever had any wondering in your life? Wondering if you're on the right path? Maybe wandering aimlessly out there? Have you ever had some bitterness in your life? Something that was hard to swallow? Ever had fears? Weaknesses? Darkness? Not being able to see? Where am I headed? And what's in the future? Sheaves after sowing, that sounds like work. Life's full of a lot of work. Sun after rain, sight after mystery. Has things been mysterious? Seems like it just escaped your understanding. I'm not really sure how it all works, and I just wish that everything would be more understandable. Peace after pain. You ever had any pain? You ever had emotional pain that caused physical pain? That's a real thing. I didn't always understand that, but I do now. Joy after sorrow. Calm after blast. Rest after weariness. Sweet rest at last. Seems like life is up and down, doesn't it? Seems like there's a lot of left and a right turn and bumps in the road. And just when you think everything's going your way, it's not. And just when it seems like that you're going to be overcome, then there's a little crack in the opposition. But soon as we start gaining a little momentum, it seems like, as the old saying is, the rug is jerked out from under us. Isn't that seem like the way life is sometimes? He says, near after distant, gleam after gloom, love after loneliness, life after tomb. You ever had to readjust after losing a loved one and wonder, how do I go on in life? I lost a sibling, I lost a mother, I lost a father, I lost a spouse, I lost someone important to me. And that's what my life was all about. But now they're gone and I'm still alive. And we have to readjust. And life seems like the path of life includes all of this. After long agony, rapture of bliss. Right, it says, was the pathway leading to this. At the end, I want my life to end in victory, don't you? I want to end in victory. I want to be on the winning side. But as I looked over the path of my life, I recognize that it's not just been one success after another. It's not been smooth sailing. There's been things that's come against me. And I know there's things that's come against you. And there's things that's been major disappointments. Sometimes you're disappointed in others. Sometimes you're disappointed in yourself. Sometimes you wish that circumstances would have been better and more conducive to you making the right choices. And maybe you felt peer pressure and social pressure and environmental pressure of all kinds. And maybe you look back over the past and you see where you've succumbed to some of that. Maybe you see some areas where you feel somewhat defeated. But I want you to know that when we end in victory, it'll be right as the pathway that leadeth to this. The path of life is not always easy. In fact, most of the time, it has more than its fair share of difficulty. And that's just life, as we would say. There's things that seem like would deter us from the vision of being victorious. You don't know, hardly, how many times that me personally, I have faced this thought of not being able to come to the point of completion, of the point of being victorious, the point of thinking, you know, the enemy wants to back us in the corner and then laugh at our failures. That's what he wants to do. But listen, folks, the path of life has lots of twists and turns. And when we get to the end of the way, no matter how many twists and turns and ups and downs and disappointments and things that we look back and being critical, we could be critical on ourselves. We can look back and say, right is a pathway that leadeth to this. So I want us to think about the path of life that we've been on today and reflect a little bit. Some of us can reflect farther back than others, but let's reflect a little bit on the path of life that we've been on. And I'm telling you, if you have victory in your heart today, right is the pathway that leadeth to this. If you feel that you know that God loves you and that everything is clear this morning, whatever life has included, I'm going to tell you that right is the pathway that leadeth to this. If you've made some failures and the Lord's had mercy on you and you can see your own shortcomings, think about what you can do with those to help someone else along the way. To avoid that pitfall, to avoid that wrong decision. Be willing to share that and know that right is a pathway that leadeth to this place of victory, this place of knowing that I'm clear with the Lord. That's a wonderful place to be this morning, and I trust we're all there. By the grace of God, that's where I'm at today. And I want to stay there, and I want to end there. And whatever the path of life may include for me, I want to end with a place that I can look back over the path and say, right is the pathway that leadeth to this. You pray for me.